Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com. Was it that synchronized swimming where we saw the French with like the faces on the back of their heads too? They're wearing like skull caps with like faces on both sides. So it looked
was
like a nightmare.
Was that real, or were you just messing with me yesterday?
I don't know. When you sent me that picture? No, I'm fairly certain that was real. That was just
That's
what they
so
were.
Weird.
Yes, they had like the actual faces on their little skull caps that they wear. So it looked like they were looking at you even when they were swimming the other way. So
creepy.
If you want something that's going to keep you up at night, there you go.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
Eric, along with Michelle Richards. Hi, Michelle.
Good morning.
Debbie Lazaga on the roads. Greg Pancake Hill producing the big show today, also handling sports for us again today. And Adam Roberts is in our newsroom. Got an update on the Maxwell Anderson, Sade Robinson case. You may recognize the names, but need just a quick refresher. Maxwell Anderson is currently in custody. He's a murder suspect. And Sade Robinson is the young woman who was attending MATC who was killed, and later her body parts were found around the city. In fact, one piece of her body was found on the shores of Waukegan, Illinois, in Lake Michigan. They have yet to find all of her, and they believe Anderson killed her. Well, the latest update, Journal Sentinel's got a good detailed piece on this, that a confidential informant had told investigators that Anderson walked them through the basement of his home on the south side and unveiled step-by-step his plans, how he intended to commit the crime, according to the search warrants that were unsealed this week. This was 90 days after he was arrested now that this friend told police about it. It was a confidential informant, walked them through, said that there was a card table and a TV. In another room, there was plastic painter tarp, sanitation sink, three saws visible. And that this informant was told that this is what his plan was, that he was going to kill this woman and then dismember her and then leave her body parts in different parts of the city. So this is obviously this search warrant evidence will be used when he goes through court. Big question that some family members had that talking to local TV was, this person knew that this was going to happen. Why didn't they stop it? Was there any way to stop this? If you knew a month ahead of time that this guy was going to do this. Now, who knows? Maybe we'll learn more details as to the how and the when and the why. But that's what we're learning right now, is that this was a plan, premeditated, that he was intending to kill Sade Robinson in his home and then do what he did. Of course, obviously, he's going through the court process right now. Hasn't been in court yet for this. The trial has yet to begin, but learning a little bit more details. Worst part about all of this is that all of Sade has yet to be found. It is 6:15. Got to get to sports in a minute.
Now, time for a sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Greg Hill.
Relentless. That, the word of the day for the crew.
As Ortiz, a rocket inside the third base bag and down the left field line all the way into the corner. Adames racing around third. He's headed for home. And there will be no throw to the plate. Joey Ortiz gets the job done again. An RBI double. It's 7-4 Brewers.
That would be the crew's only 16th hit of the game, that RBI by Ortiz, when the Brewers solidified their lead against the Braves in the eighth inning. A lot of small ball last night. Not really the MO of this crew. 16 hits, 8 walks, no home runs needed. Love again, it. Relentless, the word of the day.
You talk about how relentless our offense was today.
One,
it was relentless.
And two.
Wasn't a lot of extra base hits, but you know, it was relentless.
Three. Yeah, it confirms it in 8 seconds. Brewers take 8-6 win against the Braves. They go for the series sweep later this morning, actually, in Atlanta, 11:20 first pitch Central Time. Our Brewers Radio Network game day coverage starts right here on WTMJ at 10:45. Cup of coffee.
Wow.
And some baseball.
Here we go.
I love it. Frankie Montas on the hill for the crew today. The Packers, meanwhile, take the field for preseason game one, number one, I should say, Saturday night against the Browns in Cleveland. happened.
Since taking over as head coach of the Packers, Matt LaFleur has altered his philosophy when it comes to playing frontline starters in the preseason. ESPN Wisconsin's Jason Wilde.
Matt LaFleur believes that there is a correlation between not playing your guys and getting off to a slow start.
In 2021 and 2022, starters rested, and the Packers were destroyed in the opener.
And he believes that that was because he didn't play his guys in preseason. Rodgers never played a snap with Matt LaFleur as his head coach in preseason. Not a single one.
Craig Mantic, WTMJ News.
Yeah, and in 2023, starters did play, and the Packers opened the season with an absolute trouncing of the Chicago Bears.
Okay.
How about some news you can use this morning, Eric? So
yes,
preseason
please.
Game one on Saturday, right? So the question was brought up, how does one watch that game? Remember, typically preseason belongs on Channel 4.
Yeah, but they always have
4
it.
Has Olympic coverage. Uh-oh. Tip of the cap to listener Ken from Heartland, who brought this up to us yesterday. So what he did is he called TMJ4, and they were so prepared for this question. People knew that this was going to happen. So program director Anita Walker, this is her voicemail. Something to note, she's on vacation. So this is the voicemail that you get if you call the program director at 4.
Hi, this is Anita Walker. I'm out of the office, returning on Wednesday, August 14th.
Okay.
If you are calling about the Packers game on Saturday, August 10th, that will air on ION or WPXE Channel 55. If you have any further questions.
If you need anything else, I'll be back later in the month. So right. ION TV, where you can find the Packer game.
Channel
55.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
ION. Okay, got
yes.
It.
Yeah, for those who don't do channel numbers anymore,
right.
Which is a thing.
Speaking of the Olympics, something is happening now in Paris that has never happened before in any Olympic history game. And we'll get to it next. She's Michelle Richards, Eric Bilstead. Vince is back on Mondays, enjoying some times in the North Woods. All right, so something is happening now in the Summer Games that has never happened before. This has never been done before. It's known as breaking. It's breakdancing. Joining us now live from Paris, ABC's Inez de la Catera. All right, so breaking is taking place, right, Inez?
Good morning. That's right. Breaking, which is really breakdancing, but you're not supposed to call it that. We are calling it breaking in these Olympics. It is the first time that it's been featured in the Olympics, so it's making its Paris debut, and that starts tomorrow. It's going to be a two-day competition. Breaking athletes are known as B-boys and B-girls, and there's going to be B-boys and B-girls from more than a dozen countries, so places like China, France, Japan, the Netherlands, the U.S., of course. On Team USA, you've got Victor Montalvo, who's been nicknamed B-Boy Victor. He's been called Michael Jordan of breaking, and he is expected to medal. Don't ask me about the judging. I don't know how they're going to do that. But I'm going to try and go see it when it starts tomorrow.
Boy, I don't know why I would just assume that Americans would be really good at this for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sport that started, I mean, breakdancing started in the U.S., so yeah, I mean, I think we'll have a really strong showing. He's favored to medal, and I think on the women's side, we have interesting competitors as well.
So I found a new favorite sport yesterday, the speed climbing. The climbing up the rock wall in like 6 seconds flat, I thought that was really fun to watch.
But I know it's been really fun to discover some of these sports. So whether it's speed climbing, the race walk, my personal favorite, which is basically speed walking, breaking. I was watching the artistic swimming yesterday, which is, you know, essentially synchronized swimming, also beautiful. It's very cool to see the variety of sports at the Olympics. Canoe, they've got all sorts of weird canoe events as well. There's I think something for everyone.
And the U.S. medaled in the artistic swimming, right?
That's right. Yeah. Silver medal. China got the gold, but we did get the silver. So that was very exciting. We are hoping for more medals. We are leading in the medal count still, both in the gold medal tally and the total number of medals. So when it comes to the gold medals, we now have 27 just ahead of China with 25. And in the total number of medals, we have 94.
All right, Inez, what do you watch? yes, as expected. What are you watching today? What are some of the big events that is going to be getting all the attention today?
Yes, I think basketball is going to be the big one. As the Olympics are winding down, we're getting into the kind of last stretch for these team sports and the most interesting parts for these team sports. So the men's basketball team just won against Brazil. They're going to be playing Serbia this evening. They're favored to win. But Serbia does have Nikola Jokic, who's an incredible player. He's a three-time MVP. So that'll be an interesting game. And then all eyes on Fields. That continues to be the star attraction, I think. Noah Lyles is going to be racing for his second Olympic gold medal in the 200-meter final.
Yeah, that's a big one today. That's the one he's got to win, right? Because this is his favorite race. So this is the one that you would anticipate he'll win. All right, we'll see what happens. Thank you, Inez.
Thank you.
ABC's Inez de la Cotera live from Paris for the Summer Games. Was it that synchronized swimming where we saw the French with like the faces on the back of their heads too? They're wearing like skull caps with like faces on both sides. So it looked
was
like a nightmare.
Was that real or were you just messing with me yesterday?
I don't know.
When you sent me that picture?
No, I'm fairly certain that was real. That was just
That's
what they
so
were.
Weird.
Yes. They had like the actual faces on their little skull caps that they wear. So it looked like they were looking at you even when they were swimming the other way. So
creepy.
If you want something that's going to keep you up at night, there you go. One word describes the Brewers in Atlanta. Relentless. That story coming up at 6:45. Michelle, it's time to honor ourselves an everyday hero. We define an everyday hero as an average John or Jane Doe who had no idea when they got up one morning that they'd be saving a life. Everyday Hero is sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care, Azura Memory Care. So today we head to San Angelo, Texas, where a man named Sam Duran was in his car. He was driving when he noticed someone on the side of the road on one of the overpasses acting funny. It was a juvenile, a young kid standing on a bridge. San Angelo Police Chief Travis Griffith.
As he was traveling over one of the overpasses that goes over the loop, he found a juvenile that was on the side of the bridge that was preparing to jump.
Preparing to jump. So he sees this kid clearly distraught. Looks like he's about to jump and going to take their own life. So what does he do? He pulls over immediately. He calls 911, and then he gets out of his vehicle and he starts talking to the kid. So they start talking for a moment, but then this juvenile turns and it appears like this kid is about to jump off. That's when Duran decides to grab the child.
He was able to subdue the juvenile before they were able to jump off the rail and then be able to hold them down.
Hold them down. Grabs the kid, holds them down. Duran was honored by the police department. Chief Griffith says, look, a lot of people would have just kept on driving. Would have maybe called 911 if they were paying attention. Otherwise, you see a kid, just keep driving. Not even think about it. Not only did he call 911, but then he got out and talked to the kid.
When other people wouldn't know what to do, he saw exactly what needed to be done and helped save a life.
How about that? This is a little bit different of an everyday hero. This is different than when you see a fire and you pull someone out. This guy actually processed a problem that was happening. He admitted to Fox West Texas News that he wasn't sure he wanted to be celebrated by the police department when they wanted to bring him in. Really wasn't interested in accepting the award, but he did so because he knew it was important to raise awareness. He says he was just doing what needed to be done.
And I'm just happy. I'm glad. I mean, if I had to do it again, I'd do it again, right? It's something that life is precious. Life is precious.
That's right, Sam. And thanks to you, we have a juvenile still alive in Texas today. Thank you, Sam Duran, for being our everyday hero. Everyday Hero is sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care.
And look, there's a grasshopper in there. They're crunchy, and that helps.
WTMJ's Jessica Tai on the midday show saying that crunchy bugs are easier to eat than like if they were soft and mushy. Joining us now for State Fair Scoop is the Wisconsin State Fair's Christy Chuckle. Christy, did you end up eating a bug with Jessica or no?
I did not eat the bug. I couldn't do it. I agree with her, though. I think crunchy is better than squishy, right?
Yeah.
Does anyone disagree with that?
Yeah, squishy would be disgusting. How is the bug served? I miss this.
Well, Jessica had a little sampler that she got at Crazy Grazing Day the day before, so she got a little sample of all the bugs, but that's so special. Usually they're in something. There's the cookie there's a cookie with crickets in it this year.
Yeah,
so nice. The crickets are in the frosting, and then it's between two cookies. So they're disguised a little bit.
Right. All right, Christy. So today is Thursday, August 8th. Today we're honoring the teachers in our lives. Is that right?
We are. I love this. Prairie Farms Dairy Day. Prairie Farms is a great sponsor of ours. They also provide the cream for the cream puffs. And if you are an educator, you can get in until 4 p.m. with your ID from your school.
What do we have happening on the entertainment stages today?
The big one is Charlie Barron's. We've been really looking forward to this at the main stage, presented by Potawatomi, of course. Charlie's been at the fair already. He's been walking around talking to people, taking some videos. So tonight's finally the show. I think it'll be great. Two Hype Crew is also on the Bank 5-9 Amphitheater. Really fun show. That stage has been packed this year, so we've had some great entertainment there. And, of course, all the other bands that are playing all around the fair park.
I saw Charlie Barron's when he was at the fair 2 years ago. Excellent show. Highly recommend.
Yes, excellent show. He's just so much fun. And I think it's going to be even better this year. I feel like he's really been out there working hard, and he has such a great fan base. So it's just a perfect fit for the fair, really.
All right, Christy. It's the second Thursday. Here we go. We're getting into the final weekend of the State Fair. Yep. Congratulations on a great run so far. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Thank you.
Christy Chuckle from the Wisconsin State Fair for your State Fair Scoop. Up next, the Brewers. They had 16 hits, but they didn't have one of these. We'll explain in a minute.
Now, time for a sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Greg Hill.
Hey, Pat Murphy, how would you describe last night's offense?
You talk about how relentless our offense was today. It was relentless, and there wasn't a lot of extra base hits, but, you know, it was relentless.
I mean, he's right.
1-1 pitch, Ortiz line drive down the right field line. It got past the first baseman Olson's reach and goes into the corner. To third base goes Sanchez. They're going to wave him home as the right fielder Soler bobbled it. He will score, and all the way to third goes Joey Ortiz. The Brewers are on the board.
Yeah, that put him on the board. That was just one of 16 hits the Brewers had. 16! Count them! Smart pitch taking as well. The crew drew 8 walks. That's tied for the most in it. And again, manager Pat Murphy likes it.
You know, that's what we're looking for. You know, like guys that are putting together that many quality at-bats a night against... You know, look, we faced Chris Sale. You know what I mean? Like, this guy's one of the best in the game.
Yeah, no doubt. The Brewers look for the series sweep in Atlanta later this morning. I said this morning. An 11:20 first pitch. Our Brewers Radio Network game day coverage starts right here at 10:45. We call that brunch and baseball on a Thursday.
I love it.
Not bad.
That's what we call that.
Eric, by the way, I know you were wondering. Magic number to clinch the division? 43.
Awesome.
43.
Okay.
That's what happens, man. I'm telling you. Meanwhile, goodness, on the gridiron, the Packers just 2 days away from their first dress rehearsal against the Browns. To play your starters or not? It's the question every head coach in the NFL wrestles with in the preseason.
Matt LaFleur never played Aaron Rodgers a single snap in the preseason, and the team suffered back-to-back week one blowout losses in 21 and 22. In 2023, a much different philosophy.
So last year, Jordan Love played, I think, 12 snaps in the first preseason game, 18 in the second, and 28 in the third. And then they went and beat the Bears.
ESPN Wisconsin's Jason Wilde.
So they are going to play. How much and in how many games, that is to be determined.
The Packers take the field for preseason game number one, Saturday night in Cleveland against the Browns. Greg Matzik, WTMJ News.
The Packers begin the regular season Friday, September 6th, against the Eagles in Brazil.
The road to Washington, D.C. cuts through Eau Claire. That story, next. Wisconsin's Morning News. Eric Bilstead along with Michelle Richards. My thanks as always to Greg Pancake Hill producing the big show. Because Vince is gone this week, obviously that puts a lot more strain on Greg. so we're doing.
Or does it help? No.
Hey, I'll let you tell it. Vince is back Monday. Looking forward to hearing all the stories that he shares from his time up north. I know if anyone knows Vince, him on a boat for several days.
He looks like Skipper from Gilligan's Island.
But anyway, he'll have a lot to share, I'm sure. Looking forward to hearing about that when he gets back. Okay, so on Wednesday, Michelle, Eau Claire was the center of the political universe.
The road to the White House goes through Eau Claire.
Yes, the road goes through Eau Claire, believe it or not. That was City Council President Emily Berge, who joined us on Wednesday on Wisconsin's Morning News. That was before Vice President Harris, before her running mate, Governor Tim Walz, and before the GOP vice presidential candidate, J.D. Vance. All were in Eau Claire. What were they doing? Well, they're starting their campaign trip.
The race for the White House in full swing, with both campaigns battling to win the Midwest. Air Force Two and J.D. Vance's campaign plane meeting on the tarmac.
I just wanted to check out my future plane.
A little bit more on that in a second. So wow. You remember that? Remember that when we talked about this on Wednesday? We mentioned the tarmac and that tiny airport. Like, how is that going to work with two big planes, two big campaigns? I remember you asked Berge about it. Emily Berge, the city council president, she was asked about the plane and about the airport.
It's not a very big airport. It's a regional airport, so I'm sure there'll be some awkward waves in the hallway or how that's going to work.
So, yeah, there was.
Or some taunting.
Yeah, it was a little bit of both. You're right. It was a lot more taunting. So Vance and his staff, like, walked from their plane over to Air Force Two. And there's, like, this weird convergence. Like, Secret Service kind of looked at each other for a second. Like, hey, what's going on here? And, you know, he was just kind of poking and trolling a little bit.
Had a little bit of fun. I don't think the vice president waved at me as she drove away, but I'm glad to have done it.
Vance's point was he was trying to tease Harris about talking to the media more and doing more one-on-one interviews. That's something she hasn't really done yet, and getting a little bit of heat. You'd expect the campaign's going to schedule that here pretty soon, where she's going to have to do a one-on-one. Obviously having a good start of their run here. The Harris-Walz campaigning has gone well. They're bringing in some big crowds. They did in Detroit last night as well.
The path to the White House runs right through this state. And with your help, we will win in November. We are going to win.
So that is the vice president when she was in Eau Claire. Again, they were in Detroit later in the evening. Also in Wisconsin, Vance.
There are six or seven states that are going to decide the entire election. We think it's important to get out there and talk to people to make the best case that we can.
Yeah, so you're going to see them in Wisconsin even more. There was a question at one point whether or not the Vance stop in Wisconsin was, you know, was it strategy to go after the Harris-Walz campaign, or was it just a coincidence? I think it's pretty certain that that was a strategy. I mean, he followed him to Michigan as well. I got to give props to CBS 58's AJ Byard-Poor. You hear him on with Steve Scafidi occasionally. He did ask the question of the day.
There's an old saying in politics that what can swing undecided voters in a place like Wisconsin is whether you seem like somebody they would like to have a beer with.
Yeah.
Why would people in Wisconsin want to have a beer with you?
I guess they'd want to have a beer with me because I actually do like to drink beer, and I probably like to drink beer a little bit too much, but that's okay. I'm sure the media won't give me too much crap over that.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah.
Not here.
Say Wisconsin. Oh, have another beer. So yes, they've gone through. That's it for now. But they'll be back. What I found very interesting about what the city council president told us on Wednesday, Michelle, was that not only is Eau Claire, obviously it's going to be the biggest city on that portion of the state in the Northwoods area, northern, western portions of Wisconsin. The next closest city that size and much bigger is Minneapolis, of course. So they're going to get a lot of play. Plus, they're a swing city in a swing district in a swing state. So Eau Claire will likely see some of these contestants again. Meanwhile, quickly, there is an opportunity that there will be a one-on-one debate between the former President Donald Trump and the Vice President.
Former President Trump says a new debate with Harris will be announced soon, but he did not elaborate. It comes after Trump backed out of a September debate on ABC.
Yeah, so we'll see. That's ABC's Perry Ross and what they decide. You know what they should do? I heard this idea, and I thought this is a great idea. They should each be able to pick one moderator. And then just have those two moderators. And then everyone throws a bunch of questions in a bucket and you pick them out and you read the ones that are in there and you get to all of them maybe. But if you don't, you don't. That's what they should just do. You each have a moderator, no crowd, and here pull a slip out of the thing.
Do you get to interact with your moderator or?
Sure. I mean, you don't need to.
So like one moderator per person or go back and forth?
I'd say back and forth.
Okay.
Pull it out of the bucket. Pull the question out and read it.
Let's do it.
Do it that way. 58